Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." After observing Jesus at prayer, the disciples are so inspired that they said to Jesus, "Teach us to pray like you pray." That's what I want to do. I want to pray like Jesus prays. And so Jesus says, okay, if you want to pray like me, pray Father. Father. Abba, Daddy. Father. You're not a slave receiving orders from a taskmaster. You're not an employee addressing an employer. You're not in a relationship with some abstract force or energy field that surrounds all living things. You're in a relationship with your dad. It's a father-son or father-daughter relationship. Praying to God is an intimate, personal relationship with your loving Father, Jesus says, who gives good gifts to his children. If we, who are wicked and nothing but dust and ashes, know how to give good things to our kids, how much more does our loving Heavenly Father give us the Holy Spirit when we ask him? The difficulty is that I don't always ask for the Holy Spirit. Instead of the grand prize, the Holy Spirit, I settle for a consolation prize, a temporary thing. Unfortunately, I often ask for a creature rather than for the Creator. I ask for something God has made rather than asking for God himself, the Holy Spirit. So often we children don't know what's best for us. We say, "I want another root beer float." And, well, you can't have another root beer float because you've already had 7 today. "I want to stay up till 3 in the morning." Well, your body needs rest. "I want to go out onto the boat without a life jacket." But you really need to wear a life jacket. Us kids, we don't always know what's best for us. St. James says this in chapter 4, verse 3. He says, "You ask, but you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions." How many times I ask for something from God to satisfy my own selfish desires? That's because, unfortunately, I often treat God like a divine vending machine. A divine vending machine. And in the slot of the divine vending machine, I put in my prayer, my rosary, my novena, my chaplet of divine mercy, my holy hour intention, my mass stipend, my votive candles, my 7... well, 8, yeah, maybe 10 votive candles that I light. And I throw all of that into the slot of the divine vending machine, and then I'm ready to push my selection. $500 million, right? And I expect it to come out the bottom of the slot, right? I hit the slot for new car, right? I hit the slot for new iPhone 5, right? I hit the slot for I need to sell my house, right? I hit the slot for give me a job to support my family. I hit the slot. I hit the slot of find my lost wallet. I hit the slot of cure my mom's cancer, right? And I expect the resolution to fall out the bottom. Doesn't it frustrate you when you hit your selection and the Mountain Dew doesn't come out? Frustrates me. So what do you do when it doesn't come out? I know what I do when it doesn't come out. I bang on the selection more, right? I might even kick the vending machine. And then I say, okay, we'll try it again. So I throw in more money into the vending machine. I hit the selection Dr. Pepper, because that might work. And then that doesn't come out. This is how it happens in prayer sometimes, right? You say, well, I didn't get the selection I wanted, so I'll throw in more rosaries, more chaplets, I'll light 20 votive candles, I'll hit my selection, and when I don't get what I want, I bang on it. I get frustrated. And eventually, I may just walk away and give it up altogether. God is not a divine vending machine. We don't pray to change God's mind. We don't pray saying, well, I really hope that God will change his mind about this. Eventually, if I pray long enough, God will come around to my way of thinking. No, we don't pray to change God's mind. We pray to change our mind. We pray so that we will come around to God's way of thinking. Saint Cyprian says this great when he's talking about the Our Father. He says, if we don't pray, thy kingdom come, then will God's kingdom not come? Well, that's ridiculous, right? Of course God's kingdom will come, but it just won't come in me, in my heart. If I don't pray, thy will be done, then I guess God's hands are tied and his will is not going to be done. That's silly, right? Of course his holy will be done, but just not in me, not in my mind, not in my heart. We pray to conform our hearts and minds and our wills to the heart and mind and the will of God. That's how Jesus prays. He prays, not my will, but yours be done. He never, ever does what he wants. He always does what his Father wants. So if we want to pray like Jesus, we pray, thy will be done. Never telling God what to do, like St. Martha did in last week's gospel. You remember St. Martha from last week? Remember what she said to God, to Jesus? She made an order. She said, tell her to help me. Tell that lethargic, lazy, lout sister of mine to stop sitting around and get to work. It's pretty dangerous, isn't it? To start telling God what to do. But sadly, sometimes that's how I pray. Giving orders to God. When Abraham prays, he doesn't tell God what to do. He doesn't demand of God that he save the 20 or 10 or 30 innocent people in the city. He appeals to God's justice and mercy. So this is kind of how I've been praying lately in my old age. Things like this. These are some examples. I'll say, Lord, if it will bring you more honor and glory to cure my cancer, well, so be it. But if it brings you more honor and glory to suffer with you on Mount Calvary with our Blessed Mother and St. John, well, thy will be done. Lord, if it brings you more honor and glory that I win the lottery of $500 million to build you this beautiful retreat center along the river, so be it. But if not, your will be done. Lord, if it brings you more honor and glory to end this terrible persecution that I'm experiencing right now, so be it. But if it brings you more honor and glory that I suffer these rebukes and slanders and lies for the sake of your name, thy will be done. If it brings you more honor and glory to give me enough food to put on my table, may it be done. If you're more glorified and more trusted and more loved and more adored when my stomach growls, so be it. If it brings you more honor and glory that we have a seventh child or an eighth child, thy will be done. But if it brings you more honor and glory that we should suffer only being able to conceive one child, thy will be done. You get the idea. Notice, Abraham prays to God. He says, don't save the innocent people for their sake. Abraham says, do it for your sake, God. Do it for you. Do it, Lord, so that you will be more loved and praised and adored. Do it for your sake. This is how Jesus prays. Jesus says, if it's possible, let this cup of suffering pass, but not my will, but yours be done. This is how I've been praying lately. I express my desire to God humbly, knowing that, as Jesus says, I'm wicked and nothing but dust and ashes, knowing that God owes me nothing. I say humbly, Lord, if it is possible, this is what I want. But not my will, but yours be done. I cannot tell you how powerful this prayer has been for me. And I can also tell you that I have received very little of what I want. But I've received everything that I truly need. Because my desires aren't important. What is essential is what God wants and what He desires. And so with the disciples, we say, Lord, teach us to pray as you pray. Thy will be done. Amen.